You're tuned to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Tyler Pratt. I'm here with Rick Stolmeyer. He is CEO and co-founder of MindBody, a health, fitness, and wellness software company here on the Central Coast. It's also one of San Luis Obispo's largest employers. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Tyler.
How are you doing today?
Outstanding.
It's a little drizzly outside today.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of cool to get a late May rain right now.
It was kind of nice. Mm-hmm. All right. So for anyone listening right now and may not be familiar, what is MindBody?
MindBody is a software platform for the fitness, beauty, and wellness industries. What these industries have in common is that they're delivered locally. These are the kinds of studios, spas, salons, and wellness centers you see in downtown cores and strip malls all across America, and in fact, all across the developed world. And we have about 55,000 of those storefronts running on our platform today.
Okay. And so if anyone out there has maybe booked like an appointment at, say, your hair salon or with a fitness or the gym, they use them. Likely they've used the MindBody app, correct?
That's right. I mean, our earliest innovation starting in my garage in 2001 here in San Luis Obispo was to give these folks the ability to take reservations or appointments from their websites. And online booking was not unheard of at that time in this industry, as in most industries. And at the time, we used to talk to yoga studio owners and bar studio owners and spinning studio owners, and they'd say, well, my classes are never full. Why should I take online booking? And I'd say, because your classes are never full. And so that's why we do it. So last year, about 600 million class and appointment sessions were booked on our system.
Wow. And that's around the world?
Around the world, yeah. Mostly in the U.S. More than 90% of our customers are in the U.S., but we are in almost 100 countries right now.
What drew you to this idea initially? Were you just having trouble booking appointments to take a yoga class, or what happened?
No, actually, an old friend from high school, Blake Beltram, who's still with the company today, he and I used to meet up. He was living in L.A. at the time, and I'm here, so we used to meet on State Street in Santa Barbara, have a cup of coffee, and talk about our lives and what's going on. And one day, he brought his laptop and showed me this software that he had created for Mari Windsor Pilates in Beverly Hills in West Hollywood. And my first question was, what's Pilates? and then he talked about how he was also doing this for yoga studios. And so my next question is, yoga is a business? I'd never heard of that. What he taught me and what I went out and discovered firsthand is this beautiful world of boutique fitness and wellness that was emerging. And the epicenters at that time were LA, San Francisco, and New York. And in fact, most of those original customers, the original 100 customers, most of them are still with us today. And their brands people know, Yoga Works, Core Power Yoga, Bar Method, Cycle Bar, Yoga Tree in San Francisco. And these were the pioneers of a kind of high-touch wellness experience that the big box health clubs couldn't deliver. So it touched me on multiple levels. First of all, wellness is something I deeply care about. But also, I come from a family of small business owners. My dad, my grandfather, three of my four brothers, all involved in small businesses. And the idea that there was this grassroots entrepreneurial movement going on really turned me on. And I thought, if we can build something to help them succeed, that would be a worthwhile effort.
It sounds like you have.
We have. Something that I stumbled into my life's purpose.
Well, you mentioned something earlier I want to go back and touch on. You built MindBody in your garage right here in San Luis Obispo?
The company was founded in my garage and technically in his kitchen in Studio City down in the LA area.
All right,
and,
tell me about that.
Yeah, but we started hiring employees right out of Cal Poly. So we were, and once we got to the stage where the two of us together couldn't do it alone, I mean, he was writing the software, I was selling it, onboarding, and supporting it with these business owners. And it was only a couple of months in where I realized, they're calling me day and night. I need help. So we talked about where to hire people, and I said, you know what, I think we have quite a talent pool here in San Luis Obispo. I had been working on a graduate degree, which I had shelved a few months prior, and I'd met some really talented people at Cal Poly, and said, you know, let's put open up positions on the Mustang job line, and that's where we got our first employees. In fact, before my wife kicked us out of the garage, we had six people working in our garage, right here, about a mile here from the studio.
Oh wow!
A mile and a half, I guess, over in the Arbors, and of those six people, four of us are still with the company.
Okay. Well, you beat me to my next question, which was, why why did you keep it here in San Luis Obispo? When so many people take their tech businesses to the Bay Area, why did you want to keep it here? Was Cal Poly the draw?
I didn't want to leave. You know, I really love the Central Coast. Felt very privileged to live here. And in fact, the paucity of career opportunities is partially why I started the company, because there weren't a lot of other job opportunities in town. I think if I'd lived someplace else, probably I may have found a company that I really enjoyed and stayed there. Maybe. I don't know. I'll never know. So always told myself, and particularly when we started attracting investors, because you had to get investors to build a tech company of scale, and they would ask the same question. You know, why are you here? And would you ever move it if you have to? And I said, well, if there's ever a reason, you know, the inability to recruit the right talent, logistical issues or whatever, then we're pragmatic. We've got to make that decision. We just never found that decision. So today we have 16 offices on three continents. So San Luis Obispo, which is about 1,000 people, locally is our hub. It's our headquarters. But we also have a satellite office in Santa Maria. We have offices now in San Francisco, Irvine, San Diego, Scottsdale, Austin, Atlanta, New York, Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and UK and Australia.
Wow. Are the other offices as cool as your hub here? I've had the opportunity to come and see it. And y'all have a gym on site. And
a gym. We got on site wellness. We got on site massages. We got a slide so you can get the meetings faster. We got an on site bistro. We have childcare. We have about 80 kids in our childcare center now. So it's definitely the jewel in the crown, if you will. It sets the standard for all the other offices. But if you go down and see our office in Santa Maria, we've just moved into a new building. It's quite nice. And compares nicely. And I think it's important to give people an environment that just feels healthy. So we follow LEED standards. In fact, we've, you know, self-scoring at a LEED Gold on that building. Typically, you're not in an office where you can't see the outside. You can see physical light, a lot of fresh air, windows that open, natural material, so there's no off-gassing of VOCs. Doing things that are renewable, really energy efficient, a lot of LED lighting. We're passionate about this stuff.
Nice. And do you pull primarily from Cal Poly when you're recruiting new employees?
In the early years, for sure. I mean, we still have a lot of Cal Poly people at our San Luis Obispo operation. In fact, Cal Poly people that started here in San Luis Obispo and then moved on. I mean, one of our key people moved to Sydney, Australia, and opened the office there. But Cal Poly continues to be an important talent feed, for sure. And UC Santa Barbara, and now increasingly we recruit from all over the country and all over the world. Our new chief marketing officer came to us from Boston. We just started a new chief revenue officer. He came to us from Portland. We have a new VP of engineering that came to us from Seattle. Once you create a company that people respect and has a reputation for being a great place to work, you've got a purpose that's greater than yourself that people can get really excited about, and everyone at Mindbody is excited about. And you're in this gorgeous place of San Luis Obispo. It's an easy sell.
And your employees can come to work in their sort of athletic clothes, right?
They can work out. Yeah, as long as it's decent, you can wear whatever you want to wear to Mindbody. Yeah.
Are you seeing more tech companies head this way?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, one of the big stories, of course, is Amazon. You know, the Cal Poly grads who built the rails that Amazon Prime runs on, they bought their company. It's San Luis Obispo. Took a look at the community, and I imagine at other companies in the area like us, and said, you know what, we could build operations here. So Amazon, I think, has close to 200 people in San Luis Obispo. There's just hundreds of tech startups here. We've been deeply involved in the Cal Poly Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. which includes the Cal Poly Hothouse, both supporting it monetarily and providing mentors and advisors to those startups. I think a robust entrepreneurial ecosystem generally centered around tech, but it doesn't have to be tech. I mean, there's multiple other kinds of companies like around agriculture and other opportunities, creates a certain amount of dynamism. You know, we knew early on that if we were going to scale the company in San Luis Obispo, we couldn't be the only game in town. Because a talented couple, for example, there's going to be a trailing spouse. Or you've got an A-list talent and he or she's going to move their family from some major metro to this town they didn't hear of before called San Luis Obispo. As much as they love it, what if the job doesn't work out? They don't want to be landlocked. So creating a robust critical mass of opportunities in the Central Coast is deeply important to all of us.
Well, let's talk about that too. Is that San Luis Obispo continues to grow and we become more of a tech hub. This is already kind of an expensive place to live out here, and as it continues to grow, that most definitely is going to get worse. So, what can be done to help out with that as San Luis Obispo continues to grow?
Well, the first thing is it's just simple laws of economics. It's supply and demand, and I think we've got to get comfortable in the Central Coast that we can have growth and retain our quality of life. It's not an or, it's an and. And in past years, I mean, when I first moved here in 97, there was just a really palpable anti-growth sentiment. It's almost like, you know, I got in and I'm going to raise the drawbridge. I'm the last one in San Luis Obispo. That doesn't exist much anymore. It's typically was the older generation that was that way. The people that are running things now are taking a much more pragmatic view. We care deeply about the environment. We care about our quality of life. And we want a dynamic economy because we want to raise our families here and have our kids able to stay. And if there are no job opportunities, they won't and they can't. So we've got to have more housing. We've got to invest in infrastructure. The Tank Farm Road is a travesty. Tank Farm Road has to be fixed. And there's an approved road at Prado needs to go all the way across to Broad. And then building the both the commercial opportunities and the homes around there.
When I moved here, I didn't realize that Prado Road didn't cut all the way across. It, to me, in my mind, it made sense that it wouldn't. So I turned off, and all of a sudden, just dead ended.
Right, it just dead ends, and you can almost see, you know, where it's supposed to go over to Broad.
I want
to
be over there. Yeah,
yeah. And look, that's a safety issue. It's something that'll hold us back. And I think that there's a lot of smart thinkers in the city, in the Chamber of Commerce, and local business leaders that think we can have this and. We know we can have the and. We can have a beautiful community that's green, that's enjoyable to live in, and has lots of opportunity.
Do you think, looking at the growth of the Bay Area after the tech boom and how things have changed up there, do you think there's some sort of corporate responsibility for new people coming in here to help keep the Central Coast as pristine and accessible to so many people?
Sure. Sure. I mean, I think we can learn from the major metros that grew out of bedroom communities in the past. And certainly Silicon Valley is one of those. I mean, San Francisco has always been a big city, right? At least for a very long time, ever since the great fire, you know, the great earthquake. And even before that. But, you know, Palo Alto wasn't always a big town and Mountain View and that area. And so we can learn from what went well there and what didn't go well there. And look, as much as people are saying San Luis Obispo has grown a lot, when I arrived in San Luis Obispo, my wife and I, and population was about 42,000. I think the population today is about 49,000. 7,000
really?
People in 20 years. That's dizzying, terrifying growth.
But for a small town, it can feel like a lot.
I remember people in 1997 saying, it ain't like it used to be. You know what? Nothing is like it used to be. And the state of California is going to gain tens of millions more people in the decades ahead. So if the only way to not grow in terms of actual population would be to make the place undesirable, and this is definitely not an undesirable place, let's talk about cost of living. Sure, if you want to live in downtown SLO or within walking distance to the beach, it's expensive. Now tell me anywhere from the Mexican border to the Canadian border where that's not true, where in a top downtown area or access to beautiful beaches, it's not expensive. It just is. So what are we comparing it to? I live in Atascadero, and I can tell you there are plenty of affordable places in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Oh my gosh, you might have to drive 25 minutes to work. So there's a little bit of whining going on there. It's like, you know what? Yeah, you may not be able to live a mile from your work, but you might be able to if we get the kind of high density, high quality living conditions. It's interesting. The younger generation, I think, has it right. My generation and older, we all wanted the 4-bedroom, 3-bath house with a big lot, lots of green grass and a white picket fence. And what I see in the young people today is actually they'd rather have the smaller, easier to manage apartment and be living in a really cool community, which is great. And those little pockets exist all over the county. So I think there are opportunities, but let's make no mistake, this is a really desirable place to live. And we cannot break the laws of economics. I've grown up in Southern California. I've seen the same debates in San Diego, Orange County, LA, Santa Barbara. It's a function of being a great place to live.
Yeah. What's next for you? What's next for MindBody?
Well, we just had two pretty impactful acquisitions. The first was a fitness technology company called Fitmetrics. They were a startup on our platform. We have an open API platform. API means programming interfaces that allows people to build things on top of our technology.
Can you break that down a little bit more? What does that mean?
So what it means is, for example, there are about 700 software developers who are building things on top of our API platform. They could be analytics tools that help business owners run better, automated marketing tools. Fitmetrics is a system that integrates with wearable heart rate monitors, as well as with the workout equipment like spin bikes and treadmills and rowing machines, and mashes that data up and puts it on a leaderboard while you're doing the workout. It gives you a more fun and immersive experience. And then you get the data on a mobile app when you go home. So you're now tracking like how well your fitness is doing in a quantifiable terms. Well, they're one of the hottest things on our platform right now. And they what they do is they go set up these little fitness studios to do that. And so they're in about 1,200 locations. We think there's about 25,000 of our customers that are going to want that in the next few years. And then the other is we just acquired our largest competitor in salons and spas, a company called Booker, Booker.com. And they have about 10,000 really good quality salons and spas running on their platform. And now we're going to be able to unite those systems so that our MindBody app, have you seen our MindBody app?
I use it.
Cool. Well, you know, we're really strong in group exercise and fitness. You see lots of inventory, lots of storefronts there. Not as strong in salons and spas and wellness centers. So they bring to us, they more than double our size. We have about 18,000 now salon spas on our platform. And so we're going to be improving that online booking experience. Booking a spa experience or booking a hair salon experience is quite complex. And most of them still do it with telephone and even a lot of them with pen and paper. So we're going to be advancing that.
What's next for sort of health technology, do you think, coming in the future?
Well, I think that most of us, certainly those of us in this room, understand that eating the right foods, moving our bodies more, managing our stress is not just going to improve our years, but it's going to improve the quality of our life and dramatically reduce healthcare costs. We're still struggling to prove that on a macro level. You have to study large populations of people. I was on a panel. We're partnering with the Partnership for Healthy America, the organization that was created by Michelle Obama. And we went back to Washington, D.C. for their annual conference. And so I was on a panel with a guy that's running the Google Health program. And he's a physician. And what he said, something really interesting. He says, why is it so hard to prove that these things that we intuitively know to be true are true? And he says, well, because you have to study millions of people across many years. And so we want to be part of that in an anonymized, privacy-protected, aggregated way that someone like yourself using our app could opt in. Mm-hmm. And you're opting in to be part of the study that 5 years from now is giving quantifiable proof so that insurance companies, employers, and ultimately the governments can get behind this, because we're spending $3.2 trillion a year on healthcare. Most of it, 80% of it, is preventable causes, not moving our bodies enough, not eating the right foods, and stress. And so if we could just cut that cost down by 25%, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars of savings. Imagine if just a portion of that were directed towards actually paying for your workout or paying for your nutrition counseling or paying for that massage or that meditation class to help you manage your stress better.
And hopefully people living healthier lives.
Yeah.
Also.
So that's our purpose. MindBody's purpose is helping people lead healthier, happier lives by connecting the world to wellness.
Cool. Well, let's talk fitness here on the Central Coast. Mm-hmm. In the interest of full disclosure, when I came and got a tour of MindBody, your PR manager, Tracy, she hooked me up with some classes down the road at Revslow, and I've been working out with your nephew, Corey.
Derek and Corey, yeah.
Yeah, Corey's the one that I work out
with.
Nice. Yeah. And so it's been really nice. It's boot camp style, and I got a membership, and it's worked really well for me, and I really enjoy it. What are some of your favorite ways to work out or partake in fitness.
Well, I work out at Rev Slow too.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, are you in the mornings?
Typically in the mornings, I have
a
trainer.
And I will never see you.
Yeah.
All right.
So if I don't get my workout done before breakfast, I just won't get it done typically.
I need it in the afternoon. It's my break away from, I've gotten really good at work about 5 p.m. rolls around. I said, I got to get out of here for an hour and a half. I might go back to work later, but I got to go work out in the afternoon. It kind of breaks up my day. Yeah.
It's cool that there's different people types, like, because that way we're not all jamming the same classes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rev Slow, for sure. Obviously, it's my nephew's place. And I love yoga. Yoga has been, it's really healing for me. I love the meditative aspect for it. I've done just about every other practice, spinning, Pilates, gyrotonic. Have you ever heard of that?
What?
Gyrotonic. It's a... It's just a form of controlled movement that heals your body. It like gets all your joints and muscles to stretch out and balance, and it's like a really precise form of Tai Chi. It's almost like guided Tai Chi. And there's just so many cool things out there. I love right now I'm digging the boot camp stuff like you. I want to get in, like work hard. 45 minutes, get out.
I love it.
Yeah, because, you know,
life. You know when you're going to be done.
Yes, exactly. It's shorter, so I can tolerate it. And then you just feel so much better the rest of the day. And I just want more people to discover that. The challenge is that for a lot of people, they can't afford it. And they can't afford the rack rates, particularly these boutique fitness studios.
Mm-hmm.
And in the major metros, a boutique fitness class could cost $25-$30. So that's a lot of money. And so one of the areas we're solving for is that. And dynamic pricing is what we're doing now in the MindBody app. And the major metros, you're really starting to see it. And the issue is this. About 60% of the available classes and appointments on our system, over 5 million available class appointment sessions a day, are spoiled, unused. Nobody ever gets a benefit of them. It would have cost the studio basically nothing to put an additional person on that spin bike or in that boot camp class. And then there's tens of millions of people who aren't getting the benefit. So we want to help fill those extra spots and get more people in. It's good for the businesses, of course. It's really good for people. And you think about it, that's how everything in our life is today. That's how theater tickets and concert tickets are and hotel rooms and plane flights. And so dynamic pricing, I think, is going to really help a lot.
It was nice. I started using the MindBody app when I lived in Austin for a boot camp out there. And that's both those things changed. It was nice to be able to plan my week ahead. This was a popular boot camp, so you would get all your slots in advance and then be able to plan your week around it. And then the boot camp mentality really changed how I worked out, because it was a little bit more expensive to say go to a boot camp than say 24-hour fitness, but I found that I was getting my money's worth. And, you know, I was creating relationships with people in the class and treating health and wellness a little bit differently than when you sort of begrudgingly go to the gym. You're angry kind of walking in, and you go in there and you get it out and you're fighting with someone over equipment. And so that was sort of a shift in how I treated fitness about three or four years ago.
I had a similar experience, you know, when going back to that when Blake introduced this whole industry to me in the late 90s, finding that social experience was really key. And it really harkens to Howard Schultz's, you know, Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks. What he realized in the creation of Starbucks was that we were missing a third place. I mean, that we have home, we have work, what's the third place? And so the third place classically, you know, bars, you know, or restaurants. And so creating a third place, like a coffee shop where you're not going to get lit, you're going to kind of chill and connect with people. Well, you think about that, that's what's really happening in these boutique fitness studios. Group exercise is pulling people together and creating social bonds. And I think the more that technology abstracts our existence, the hunger we are for real human contact.
Rick Stolmeyer, CEO and co-founder of MindBody, a health, fitness, and wellness software company right here on the Central Coast. And it's one of San Luis Obispo's largest employers. Rick, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Tyler. It's a pleasure.
You're listening to KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio.